now for Inside Utah Politics with Lindsay Ayres.
Welcome into our streaming show today. Thank you for watching. Thank you for joining us. I am Lindsay Ayres. As always, you can watch our Inside Utah Politics show on TV. Want to point that out as well. I want to welcome you into our streaming show. It's different TV, right? Like people, I just want to make it clear that it's different TV. One airs on broadcast, one is streaming, so we appreciate
watch them both.
Watch them both. Yeah. You got plenty of content. And then if you go to our YouTube channel, just everything is there. Scroll through, look at the headlines you like, look at the topics you want more analysis on. That's what we want from you guys. Joining us today, Aaron Ryder and Adam Gardner. Hi, guys.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here. Introduce yourselves.
I'm Aaron Ryder. I think the fun tagline right now is that I have a super secret job that I'm
still?
Not.
It's still a secret.
Probably next time. Probably the next time
you're
I'm here.
I'm so important.
And it's going to be a massive like letdown when I actually say what it is.
Because I already know
what
it is.
But that's fine. But I'm happy to be here.
Okay. We're happy to have you, Adam.
Hi, I'm Adam, and I'm a lobbyist here in town.
Yeah. You guys are political insiders. You know the ropes. You've worked with these state lawmakers, and you know federal issues as well. So we're happy to have you. Producer Peter is here as well.
Hi, folks. Lindsay, I'm glad first thing you made clear to the viewers, you do have to watch us on every platform.
You got to watch every every TV.
Welcome to the show, folks, and get your other screens
because
ready.
Some people don't watch local news. Fine. I'm judging you, but fine.
Mm-hmm. You should.
And some people just stream, right? Yeah. So we've got two different platforms. Three, if you count the internet too, where you can watch us. So just pointing that out.
Well, welcome on in, folks.
Yeah. So happy to have you. Okay. Today we're going to hit a Democratic PAC that's targeting state lawmakers here in Utah. I'm very curious to get your thoughts on this. We also have Senate Democrats on the federal level who are trying to push for the release of the Epstein files. This is the topic that will not go away. So we'll touch on that. We are also going to hit on foreign visitors to national parks. So a proposal out there to increase the fees for foreign visitors to our national parks. Obviously, we have five of them in Utah, so that will impact us. And then finally, we're going to hit on a topic about the Department of Justice asking our state lieutenant governor's office for voter roll information. So we'll have you guys weigh in on that. Let's start with this Democratic PAC that is targeting state Republicans. This is the Vote Save America PAC. They're owned by Crooked Media, which is run by some former Obama staffers.
So Crooked Media is the name of the company.
Yes, the name of the company, not a description.
But it's also the Crooked Media.
Okay, and I also want to point this out. We have two Republicans here today. So let's make clear that they're both going to be...
Hey, we are completely objective, unbiased, and...
No, these guys are totally awesome.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When you
they're
going to
do amazing things in the state of Utah.
Sometimes our panelists just work out where we have two Republicans, and we love all people and we love all panelists. So just know that you're not going to get one side or the other. You're going to get a variation of one side, and I'll push you guys where I need to because that is my job. But okay, so this Democratic PAC going to come up and team up with a Democratic basically campaign lobbying firm called Elevate Strategies. They're dumping $20,000 into races here locally. Aaron, let me start with you. They're targeting, I think it's 8 different House seats and 2 senators. Talk to me about how you see this all going.
I see it being a big old bunch of nothing. I mean, come on, $20,000? $20,000 spread amongst 10 races?
It's like 10
for
signs.
The state legislature? Yeah, like, yeah. I'm sorry. It's just not going to, as someone who has run for office in, well, and Adam, you have too, like, $20,000 would not be enough if you put it into just one of these races. And yes, a lot of these races are more purple races, so they're more competitive races, but these are all incumbents. And throw in like a couple bucks into each of these races, I mean, great. Go for it.
Yeah. So, Adam, they're kind of arguing here that Utah is maybe turning a little purple, at least in some of these seats that they're targeting, maybe West Valley City, Taylorsville, West Jordan, Sandy, South Jordan, Riverton. They're targeting some of these areas. Do you think that these are swing districts, so to speak?
Anyone that ever looks at election returns for a living like they should be doing should know that these are very stupid districts to go after, even though you think that they may be really competitive because Jim Dunnigan has been in for a while and he lives in Taylorsville and he's had some really tight races. 4 years ago, it was 75 votes. Then redistricting happens and then he won by 9 points.
Well, that's why they say they're going after these districts.
Great.
Is because of the slim margins.
Great. Go after them all you want. 75 votes, redistricting happens. Then the next election happens. He wins by 9 points, and then no one runs against him. He gets 100% of the vote.
So you're saying we've gerrymandered.
That's not what redistricting happens. It's a constitutional thing that happens every year.
Saying?
That's not what I'm saying.
Okay. Lindsay doing her job.
I'm just clarifying.
Districts change. The boundaries of his district have to change because people move in and people move out. Stop.
Adam is saying is some of us get luckier than others when it comes time to redraw maps.
His lines changed and now he's in a very safe seat. Is that what you're saying?
Well, okay. Let's talk about Jordan Tusher real quick.
Okay.
Jordan Tusher was on the ballot a year ago, right after the whole Amendment D thing happened, and his competitor went after him for Amendment D and had a whole bunch of signs and all sorts of things going after him. Did not matter at all. And Jordan was the one who ran those bills.
Yeah.
And so, you know, again, of these seats,
well, let me tell you, the data that they are using, that the media is using to show that, hey, Utah has gotten more purple, more Democratic. Let me tell you why that's a bunch of crap. Because 20 years ago, we're talking about, I did not have to be respectful.
No. We're on television.
Look, you're comparing 2012 numbers from Mitt Romney being the presidential candidate who gets 75% of the vote to Donald Trump winning in 2024, who gets 51% of the vote here. Mm-hmm. Look at this huge liberal swing coming up in Utah. Are we kidding ourselves?
You're saying it's an apples to oranges.
This is a Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
It's actually Mitt Romney and orange. and we're comparing these two numbers on local House races. They have nothing to do with each other. On a Donald Trump year, Anthony Lube from West Valley City, one of these purple districts that they're targeting, Anthony Lube in a Donald Trump year won by 9 points. Great. You can put a ton of resources in, but I guarantee you the Republicans are going to put 10 times more resources into these districts than the Democrats are. $2,000 per race isn't going to do anything, as Aaron said. And then they're going after Dan McKay. You're going to go to Dan McKay's left, who covers Riverton, Harriman, Bluffdale, Draper. Hit all that as a Republican.
Go for it.
I want you to dump truckloads of money into that because... Yeah. We're going to be doing the same thing. And you're also going to target the Senate majority leader in Sandy, who's representing his area very well, who can easily
with the Senate pack behind
who can easily raise hundreds of thousands of dollars. So all I'm saying is you have to do this as a Democratic Party and liberal progressive groups. You have to do this. You have to. What this is doing and why I applaud this effort is you got to energize your base.
Yeah.
You have to get them excited to run. It's not easy to go to a Democrat and say, hey, we've never actually won this seat, but one day it's going to be super close. We want you to jump on this grenade for us. That's really hard to do.
Yeah.
And it's hard for people that want to get involved in politics that may not be able to win. Let's have some wind at their sails.
But do you think Democrats are seeing this differently, though? Do you think that they're energized by this?
Of course they're seeing it differently. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing this. I will say, now, Adam and I have both run for Salt Lake County seats as Republicans. I do see a future where Salt Lake County right now, if you really look at it, is pink. It's not completely red. It's not purple, but it's pink. But if Republicans are lazy about Salt Lake County and don't actually invest in Salt Lake County and preserve the seats they have here, then yes, I don't think it takes very long with the growth that we're seeing, especially on the west side of the county and the changes, the demographic changes that are happening in the county, probably wouldn't take very long for some of these seats to start to flip. So there is a role. It is important that Republicans take Salt Lake County seriously and continue to invest money in Salt Lake County. But these seats this year.
They're kind of different because when most Republicans, I think, look at a ballot, they go Republican, 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 and they go, I got to throw a bone. I can't just be, I'm an independent thinker.
I got it.
Right? And so then you go to these county offices and you go, I don't care who my county recorder is.
Oh, please tell me I did not lose a race because people were throwing a bone.
I was a county recorder, and I 100% know that this is what happens. I don't care who's in this office. I didn't vote straight party. I threw a bone. And so to your point, I think they kind of do that with county offices. And we also say they do that with state treasurer. Nah. That's kind of how you gauge, because nobody knows who your state treasurer is.
And everyone thinks that those offices don't do anything.
And so that's your baseline every year. You look at that race to see what the real
members
are.
But the races that matter, right? The legislature. You're not putting a bunch of Democrats in the legislature.
They're not. People aren't taking a risk on that.
I'm curious.
Well, that's
here.
Great. I feel great about my race now.
I'm curious here the strategy a little bit. Was it a smart move for them to literally spell out which races they're targeting here? I mean, it would seem like from a political strategy, you would want a little more secrecy around where you're putting this money. I mean, these are all Salt Lake County seats, except for the one in Ogden, which we know has flip-flopped a few times with a Democrat and a Republican.
That is one that could flip. If they were smart, they'd put all 20 grand back into that race.
Into the Ogden race?
Yeah. Go get Rosemary Lesser, bring her back, and put all that money back into that race.
Yeah.
But they're not going to. I don't know. What do you think?
Everybody gets a grand. I don't think it's a bad strategy at all. Yeah. And the reason is because I could actually see them having names of people that want to run, but are saying, God, I want to run, but this is going to be expensive. Mm-hmm. They have money. Okay, well, we can put some money behind you and we're going to make this big spectacle. We're going to come out and say how we're targeting your race. We see it as winnable. And by us doing that and these national groups having national money come in, we are showing we believe in your race and you're going to be able to raise some money. You're going to be able to do this right.
It's a statement. I think it's a statement.
Yeah.
And if you want good candidates, to your point earlier about like who's running for these races as opponents to these incumbents, if you want to find good candidates, maybe you need those candidates to have an incentive to come forward.
Sure.
Because there's no way on the other end that they can go find the candidate. You know, they could try and go recruit candidates, but for
politics
all of these races,
miserable.
They don't know these people.
Yeah.
They don't know the area. So get the people to come to them.
Democrats may feel like they're really bolstering themselves right now here locally because they just replaced a party chair in Brian King. He has a lot of name ID. He ran for governor. He's served in the legislature for 16 years, right? And then they got this PAC situation going. Do you think, I mean, as I cover the legislature, it's hard to see Democrats having any sway and any power, if you will.
Individual Democrats do.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
And there are plenty of them who work across the aisle and things like that. I guess the question is sort of, do you see them making any inroads with these strategies that they've implemented?
No.
And you wouldn't care anyways. All right, let's move on, shall we? I do want to point out that on our TV show, I'm talking to Elevate Strategies today, who ran the campaign for Brian King. They also ran the campaign for Caroline Gleick, but those two Democrats did not perform well in their
elections. What did they get in their general elections?
I think it was 31%,
respectively. 29%.
Yeah. Especially with Caroline's. I think some of that was mismanaged.
Is that a function of the strategy, or is it a function of Utah is red?
It's Utah.
Red?
No, we've had some really good candidates from Democrats run for attorney general. I mean, Greg Scordis when he ran, D. Smith, a great Democrat that was super popular in a Republican county, ran for attorney general. They're super popular in their county. And then when they run, they lose their county for a statewide office. It's just kind of the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
And we've had some really great candidates run as Democrats. It doesn't matter. They could be your next door neighbor and you're not going to support that person. Sam Granato, great guy that everybody loved. And then he ran and couldn't win Salt Lake County, but he can win a Salt Lake County seat.
So interesting. I've spent way too much time on this because it's fascinating and it's local and it brings in national money and all of that. So I'm fascinated by it. Okay, let's switch to another topic that's getting a lot of buzz. And that is Democrats in the Senate, so the U.S. Senate, are trying to force the release of the Epstein files. And now their latest tactic is to go to this group of five, I think it's called, where they're trying to say that any five representatives who are in support of releasing the files on this committee,
the Homeland Security Committee means
that you've got to release these by August 15th. Do you think this is the play? Do you think we will see these files? We've had Congressman Blake Moore and John Curtis say to me personally that they support transparency. Now, they wouldn't go so far as to say we should release these, but they do support transparency. So if I'm reading between the lines, I would.
Well, every Republican is in a very tough spot right now because Donald Trump, the leader of the party, has said, no, absolutely not. We're not releasing these files. But yet every Republican has said, we want the files released. And so now where does that put Republicans, right? Yeah. And so publicly, you have to find a way to thread that needle. Is this the thing that makes it happen? Probably not. Because you still have to compel the government to actually do it. And I think we've seen a president who, when he decides he just doesn't want to do something, he
doesn't,
just doesn't
matter
do
whether
it,
it's
right?
a federal like, law or yeah. a federal judge or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know if this gets it across the finish line, but it is unquestionably a black mark in what Trump is doing right now in his presidency. And he has completely lost the narrative on this. And so I don't know.
The administration has lied time and time again. Pam Bondi came and said, it's on my desk.
Yeah.
No such list exists. Release the list. I've seen the list and I don't want to release it. Oh, out of respect for the victims. Cut the crap.
Yeah.
And release it. Republicans are not in a tough spot. They're scared.
Why do you think they haven't?
Do what is right. Yeah.
Why do you think they haven't released it then?
Because they're scared. Mm-hmm. It is 100% because they are scared of what it says. Mm-hmm. And all the stuff, all that's doing is just prolonging everything.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is used to him saying like, nope, this is the end of it. And it quickly dies and Republicans get on board. This issue is not going to die.
Yeah.
Because people feel betrayed.
And this is a bipartisan thing, right? Like, I think most people recognize there's something weird going on here. Like, are we really honestly just saying that like Jeffrey Epstein like really just died or, you know, committed suicide? Like, that's really the line we're going with now? Because it's a story where I think you can get people, and we're seeing this even in Congress where Democrats and Republicans have worked together in certain instances on this issue.
Democrats are calling our bluff.
They are.
And they're winning.
It's ridiculous.
And do you remember back in 2016, the first time Trump got elected and he had the October surprise in the election with the Access Hollywood tape and the grab him by the bad word situation. We still elected Donald Trump and elected him twice after that. Is this worse with the Epstein files we elected him in 2016 and then again in 2023, right?
Yeah.
No, did I 2024. Did I get my dates wrong? Do you know what I'm saying?
Just not in 2020.
Producer Peter, check this for us.
Sorry. I got my ears wrong, but we've elected him
twice. Donald Trump has been the president twice and did win two elections to do so.
Thank you.
That's why you keep me around, folks.
That's what I said, was it not? I guess my question is, we've given him passes in the past. Is this worse if it comes out and he's on them or he had some involvement? Do you think the American people will hold this against him?
Well, it's not just Trump. It's who else is on the list, right? Like, Trump may do just fine with this, especially because this is Trump's last term, right? Like, I don't know that Trump really suffers anything if his name does end up on this list, if I'm perfectly honest. Maybe an impeachment inquiry, but does that go anywhere? And especially with the Republican House, probably not.
Which is a problem. He's going to.
Which is a problem.
I think the problem Republicans see is if they actually force the release of this list, he is seen as a client. Jeffrey Epstein has said, I have cavorted with him around minors on tape under oath. If that comes out, the Republicans will be forced to do something and every Republican will be like, I'm so sorry. I know that he's a pedophile, but we can't really do anything because he's super mean. That would be a travesty the Republican Party is not ready to face. And so we're pretending it doesn't exist.
And would have a hard time recovering from.
Yeah.
But again, I think it's also who else is on the list, right? There may be some self-preservation coming out from some of this too. I think it's just everything about it to me and to everybody else just smells so terrible. Like, what are you doing with this? If you've been campaigning on this for years, oh, suddenly it's just like not accessible. Like, what?
Yeah.
I also think to your earlier question, you said, is this the right play for Democrats? And it 100% is the right play for Democrats. Democratic base supporters are saying, why aren't you fighting? You're just letting him roll right over you. And they are, because there's really not a ton they can do. On this, they can do something. Mm-hmm. And I think from a Democratic Party standpoint, are they going to get a win? I think this is the way to do it. This is the only way to do it.
Well, and it may be a long play. This particular motion that they're making may not do much, but they can push this
Keep it in the press.
Drive it right into the midterms.
We'll have to see how it all shakes out. All right, our final topic here before we have to end is some news that we got recently that the Department of Justice has asked the state of Utah for voter roll information. Now, at this moment, as we're recording, we don't know what information exactly they're asking for. Is that names, addresses, ID? Presumably, they want to look into potential voter fraud, potentially maybe illegals voting, non-citizens, right? Maybe they're looking into that. But the lieutenant governor has come out and said, we're looking into this. We're checking with our legal team on what we can release, what we should release. We've had secretaries of state in other states like Maine say, go jump in the lake, Donald Trump. I think she said Gulf of Maine, which I found hilarious. What do you think? Should Utah hand over this stuff? What do you think the lieutenant governor will do? Granted, if you're hearing this and the news has already come out, we don't know yet what she's going to do.
I think if whatever we are required to hand over by law, we should hand it over. What I find is just particularly amusing is a lot of those people that hate the federal government. I count myself as one of those people that don't like the federal government meddling in Utah's business are now like, yeah,
hand it over.
Yeah. Give the feds everything they want. And I just think the juxtaposition of all this is pretty funny.
Because this is the crew from Phil Lyman and those who support him who have kind of been calling for this data for years and years and years.
If this is a locker up situation, that type of the Phil Lyman group, they want her arrested. They want Governor Cox arrested. Horrible threats online everywhere against them. Yeah. And so they want this. And so they see Donald Trump as kind of their savior on this. Mm-hmm. And if the DOJ is investigating him, they're all for it.
Yeah, it just reinforces the whole narrative, right? Even though historically Utah's election records have been pretty clean and pretty cut and dry. Like, I don't know that there's
but historically
much
they were open.
There.
Do you guys know what
is protected at this point? What are we legally not allowed to share?
So there's a lot of voter registration that was done for a number of years that you could just go in and register or change your registration, and you just clicked a box that said, I want all of my information private.
And I think there's a lawsuit right now saying you can't do that based on the National Voter Registration Act that says voter registration information has to be made public.
And I am of the opinion that it should be public. The difference is the legislature voted that it should not be
in certain circumstances.
Yeah. So I'm not a fan of that. But they were able to just discount everyone. You couldn't even tell if a human being actually voted. You would have the numbers come in, but you would have no names, no voter IDs, nothing that corresponded with, did someone actually cast a vote? Mm-hmm. And in full transparency, I think our state made the wrong decision in letting that information be closed off.
And so those people haven't had to come back and they're not made public automatically. They were sort of grandfathered in, right?
That's correct.
To withheld status right now. So we have lots of people who are withheld who potentially shouldn't be.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, interesting. We'll have to see how it all shakes out. Guys, thanks for your insights today. It's been fascinating.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Aaron Ryder, Adam Gardner, appreciate you guys and all of your insights. Again, watch both our TV shows, will you? If you're finding us here on streaming or on YouTube, you can see us over on Channel 4 on ABC4, Sundays at 8 and 4. And we're in podcast form, too. Wherever you podcast, just search for Inside Utah Politics with Lindsay Ertz, and you'll find it there. Producer Peter.
Hi, folks.
Love ya.
Love you, too.
Appreciate you.
Always a pleasure to
Thanks
be included
for
in the end.
Today. I
Great to
make
see
fun you. Of your
oh,
outfit.
Listen, in the last 30 seconds when I can't defend myself, that's so mean.
Oh, look, we're out of time.
It's our October surprise.
Thanks,
we'll
everybody.
See you next week.
Bye.